This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Tuesday podcast for the 13th of January, 2026. Good morning. Welcome. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with the news today, including stories on whether Governor Braun's tax reform is good for farmers and how the top House and Senate ag lawmakers are responding to ag leaders pushing for farm labor reform. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says cold air is coming back in. Monday grains and soybeans went into a sharp sell-off after release of the very bearish USDA January crop report. Mike Castle of StoneX takes a look at that on the Hat Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Is the Braun tax reform good for farmers? And no more excuses. Farm labor reform needs to get done. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Fort Wayne Farm Show. Come by and see us today, tomorrow, and Thursday at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. Admission is free. A lot of time was spent breaking down SB1 last year, what we can now officially call the Braun Tax Reform Bill. But the question remains, is this bill good for farmers? Purdue Professor Emeritus and Ag Economist Larry DeBoer, who has worked on Indiana tax policy for decades, says it depends.
It's possible that farmers will pay less than they pay now. It's possible that they'll see an increase, but probably less of an increase than anybody else is likely to see.
DeBoer says homeowners whose homestead has an assessed value below $102,000 certainly won't be happy with this bill. The elimination of the fixed standard deduction of $48,000 right off the top is the culprit.
$48,000 is a pretty significant chunk of a home valued at $100,000. Right? That's almost half. It turns out that the deduction that they're going to have in 2031 is about two-thirds. If you take the $48,000 plus the supplemental deduction we've got now, which is 37.5, that's about three-quarters.
So for those homes, the deduction by 2031 will be less than it is now, which means your taxes will go up. This could hit rural communities across the state hard if a change isn't made. DeBoer showed his research at last week's Indiana Farm Bureau Legislative Forum that showed property taxes nearly tripling for some homeowners in Jay County based on his research.
And in Jay County, about one-third of all the homesteads are valued at less than $80,000, so less than $100,000, even more than that. So yes, in rural areas, homes valued in five figures are pretty common. And you know, certainly folks in the suburbs and in the cities might find that hard to believe. But take a look at the selling prices of homes in rural areas. That's what the assessor is basing their assessments on. And those homes frequently sell for less than $100,000.
While several bills have been introduced that could change portions of now Senate-enrolled Act 1, Braun told Indianapolis news station WIBC that we won't get anything on property taxes until, quote, we open up the budget in 27.
Farmers, the Fort Wayne Farm Show celebrates 37 great years at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, January 13th to the 15th. The area's largest variety of farm equipment and services, and the latest technology, educational seminars presented daily. Register to win the grand prize, a Toro Time Cutter zero-turn lawnmower courtesy of Plevna Implement. Admission is free.
Now through Thursday at the War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne. Open Wednesday night till 8 with free admission.
Farm labor reform remains one of the top issues in the ag industry, and they're discussing it in Anaheim, California at the Farm Bureau Convention. C.J. Miller has more.
And I just think the time has come to get this done.
And that's Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar, the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee. In a rare joint appearance on Sunday, all four leaders of the Congressional Agriculture Committees appeared together on stage during the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention. And they discussed ag policy issues, the most pressing, farm labor reform.
Michael Bennett has a bill that I'm a co-sponsor of that would fix the H-2A visa program and make sure that we have year-round visas, that we are doing something on wage certainty, protecting the existing workforce.
Republican Congressman G.T. Thompson, chair of the House Ag Committee, told the crowd that previous excuses for passing farm labor reform no longer apply.
Why, people always told us in the past we couldn't do something because the border wasn't under control. Now, I would argue that the border's always been under control. It was just under control by the cartels previously. And today, it's under control of the United States of America. And so that excuse is gone.
Meanwhile, Democrat Congresswoman Angie Craig, ranking member of the House Ag Committee, said the current challenge facing farm labor reform are the recent actions from the Trump administration.
Being from Minnesota right now, we have a number of Homeland Security actions underway in the state of Minnesota. I got a text a couple days ago from one of my dairy farmers, and ICE agents were sitting at a gas station near the dairy farm, and people didn't want to come to work. Whether they were legal immigrants or not, they don't want to come to work because they fear in this environment right now. So this administration at times does not act like they actually want immigrant labor here in the United States of America. And we all know that we need them in this sector of the economy and many, many others.
Check out the full video of that panel discussion and read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a setup here that is, well, getting us back to winter, honestly, in the overall sense of things. Yes, it was a little bit chilly as we finished out the weekend here. Not as cold yesterday, and today we have a nice little mild surge. It will be our last, I believe, for potentially the whole month of January from here on out. We have a weather system passing by to our north today across Lake Superior, northern Michigan, and into Canada. That is throwing cloud cover down close to the Indiana-Michigan line. But generally speaking, we're not getting into any precipitation, and we are not getting into any of the cold air associated with that right away. A mild surge here for the entire eastern Corn Belt to finish your Tuesday. However, overnight tonight, cold air makes its move around the backside of that system that we just talked about. Cold air races down, and we have strong northwest flow coming in here through the rest of the week. This may actually trigger a little bit of moisture down near the Ohio River as we get close to midnight tonight. So keep your eyes open for some rain and even a few sloppy wet snowflakes down that direction. Lake effect is going to be the story for the rest of the week. Strong north winds coming across the Great Lakes. Gray, cloudy, and on again, off again snowflakes. That's the story for Wednesday, for Thursday, for Friday. We have varying degrees of clipper systems trying to come through as well. So, for example, on Friday, maybe less lake snow and more of a clipper coming in. Either way, snowflakes are in the forecast pretty much every day from now, well, tomorrow through the weekend. A reinforcing shot of cold Arctic air comes in early next week. That will make us even colder from Monday, Tuesday with another round of snow there. And the rest of next week, we stay in the cold sector. Warm air versus cold air battle setting up over the countryside. Maybe we get some of that warm air into southern Indiana late next week on Friday. If we do so, it'll be right about the time some rain shows up. Nothing going on farther north, and cold air comes right back down in behind for the 24th, 25th. Looks to me like the week of the 26th stays quite chilly as well. So there you go, going into the deep freeze for a few weeks. I suppose we probably need that, but we'll see how it all shakes out and give you an update again tomorrow. I'm Ryan Martin.
USDA speaks, and markets make an abrupt turnaround to go sharply lower. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. USDA very bearish today. The final numbers from trade coming up. We'll begin with commentary and insights to the report with Mike Castle of StoneX. I spoke with him at the end of the session. It was quite a negative response to the January USDA report. And Mike, we knew that it was possible to get a bearish report. Did you expect this bearish, though?
No, I certainly did not. I definitely would say I came into this report kind of leaning a bit bearish, especially seeing the average trade guess for corn ending stocks specifically coming in below $2 billion. It seemed like USDA had kind of been going out of their way to keep it above that mark. I think there was a lot of question marks that actually still exist on the demand side of their equation here, even after today's report. So I just don't think anyone could have seen a yield this high coming. I think that's really kind of the headline of what stands out. It's just talking about pick any kind of metric from this report, and it was bearish pretty much. When we're looking at the corn side, and obviously, nearby corn closing down over 24 cents is pretty reflective of that. But the big thing here, we were at 186.0 on corn yield coming in. Expectation was to see about two bushels an acre cut off of that. So still an all-time high at what would have been 184, but they went the opposite direction, increased another half a bushel. So we're at 186.5. So last year was the previous all-time high, to put that into context, at 179.3. So this is a record by a very significant margin. And that translates to production over 17 billion bushels, because they also raised their harvested acreage by over 1.3 million acres, which is kind of an unprecedented move at this point in the year. Just looking at where FSA acres are, for example, about 97.4, you'd have thought maybe they'd start to walk their planted acreage estimate back if they were going to make any changes there. And again, they went the opposite direction. So really kind of catching the trade off guard. Again, just trying to put into context how big that production figure is. The top end estimate of, the analysts surveyed coming into this was at 16.7 billion. And again, like I said, corn production now for 25-26 is over 17 billion, which, means massive carryout. And truly, it could have been worse. Carryout pegged at 2.227 billion. Again, I referenced that average trade guess of slightly below the 2 billion mark. So you could see just how bearish that miss is. But really, if you dig into the numbers, there are still some changes I think the USDA will have to address here at some point, the biggest of which is their feed demand number, which they, for whatever reason, opted to increase again this month, which really doesn't make sense. They've now got feed residual at what would be an all-time high, 6.2 billion, even though, as we've said for however long, pretty much all of this year, that feed demand is overall, especially when you're looking at the beef sector, down because of the fact that so many more cattle are getting fed in Mexico instead of the U.S. because of the New World screwworm issue and the border still being closed. So that's a big part of why our exports are so strong. And again, they left those alone at 3.2 billion. Could have increased that. I think if they wanted to raise something on the demand side of the equation, that would have made a lot more sense. If you look at where export inspections or sales progress are, they're both well ahead of schedule to beat that 3.2 billion target. So it really doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I would have guessed to see USDA walk back their yield estimate and use that to go ahead and walk back that feed and residual number a bit, because again, it just seems, I don't want to say impossible, but very, very unlikely, given the dynamics in the livestock sector domestically today. So overall, I guess I should have led this with don't shoot the messenger, because it's just hard to find a positive takeaway on the corn side in today's report.
On the bean side, it also could have been worse had they also raised soybean yield. They didn't. They left it alone, but the harvested area and production both were raised.
Yes, exactly. And that kind of goes back to this, same thing. If you really wouldn't have expected any changes to be made on the acreage side in this report, that's why it's such a big surprise. And they also went back and made some minor revisions to the size of last year's crops. What they also did on the acreage side, side. So you increased harvested acres for last year and this year slightly. Again, that just means we're coming in with higher beginning stocks. And they did cut exports again on the soybean side by 60 million bushels. I think that makes sense. You know, that's, again, kind of a something we've been following for a good while here. That's not really any surprise given how far behind we still are on soybean export progress, whether it's inspections or sales thus far in 25-26. But they did increase the crush side as well by 15 million bushels. So that is a positive. You know, we are running ahead of that so far. That's not to say it'll last all year. But still, you know, soybean ending stocks back above 300, now sitting at 350 million. Certainly, again, a bearish takeaway here. The market reacted as such. But then, you know, even turning away from the U.S., I think one of the other big bear factors there was USDA did increase Brazil's crop as well to 178 million met tons. That's up 3 million from the month prior. And that's by far an all-time high, if realized. And that does kind of get them more in line with where the local estimates from within Brazil have been. A lot of the private estimates have been. It does sound like, you know, where they were at before at that 175 was pretty light. They were kind of on the low end of everybody coming in. So it's not a shock, but it does, again, say we're going to see another record South American output, and that adds competition to us on the export side of things. And again, just kind of weighs on the market more broadly.
Mike Castle, market intelligence and senior fertilizer analyst at Stone X. And now the final numbers from Monday trade. March corn 24 and a quarter lower, 421 and a half. That followed 6 to 8 cents higher markets before the report. May corn 430 and a half, down 23 and a quarter. July down 22 and a quarter at 438. March beans 1049, a drop of 13 and a half cents. May 12 and three quarters down, 1061 and three quarters. July 1075 and a half, off 12 and a quarter. 6 cents lower. March and May wheat, March 511 and a quarter, May 522 and three quarters. Meats mixed, February live cattle 235.25, up 152, 87 cents lower for Feb lean hogs 84.42. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.